Two Montana women who had only been in Alaska a few hours have been identified as the drowning victims on Eagle River. Anchorage police say the victims were 60-year-old Fern Johnson of Plains, Montana, and her friend 48-year-old Carl Heater of Kalispell, Montana. They were in a canoe Wednesday with Fern's husband, Robert Johnson, accompanied by Eagle River resident Robert Voris in a kayak. Police say they put a canoe up against a log jam in the river about 10 miles north of Anchorage. Police say they attempted to paddle to the east bank, but were caught in faster current and the canoe overturned. Robert Johnson was able to get on the log jam, but the two women got caught under it and drowned. All were wearing flotation devices. After a two-year break, former Juneau School Board member Destiny Sargent will run for office again. Sargent filed her nominating petition yesterday with the city clerk's office. She was elected to a three-year term in 2007 and served until 2010, but did not seek re-election so she can spend some more time with her children. She says she's missed the board.
I'm really looking forward to serving the school board again, and I haven't been gone so long that, you know, it's all brand new. So I feel like a lot of things that got started when I served, you know, are still ongoing projects, you know, and so I'll be able to hopefully come back and be right up to speed pretty quickly.
Before running for the board for the first time, Sargent was a member of the community task force planning for the Thunder Mountain High School. She's a clinical psychologist for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH. She has a daughter in middle school and a son that has graduated. Three school board seats are open. Each is a three-year term, and Sargent is the second person to file. Current member Andy Story is also running for re-election. Juneau's business community has serious reservations about a proposal to put two capital improvement project funding packages on this fall's municipal election ballot. That's according to a recent survey of Chamber of Commerce members. The Assembly will hold a public hearing on the proposed ballot propositions on Monday. One would extend the city's temporary 1% sales tax. The other is nearly a $25 million bond proposition to pay for a list of additional projects. The sales tax extension would bring in an estimated $45 million over 5 years. The Assembly has proposed using $10 million of that to pay down debt on the bonds, avoiding the need to raise property taxes. The Chamber received 116 responses to its online survey, about a third of the group's membership. Nearly 54% said there wasn't enough public input on the proposal, and 76% disagreed with using sales tax and bond revenue to fund deferred maintenance to city buildings, a common practice for years. Denny DeWitt sits on the Chamber's Government Affairs Committee and says he'll vote no on the measures if they appear on the ballot as is.
We've got operating budget problems at the city, which means that we're going to have difficulty funding what we're doing. We're concerned about state revenues being reduced, and it seems to me this is a time to be very, very cautious about moving forward with adding things to property tax base and to the sales tax. We can't afford what we've got now. One's got to wonder how we're going to afford it in the future.
Assembly Finance Committee Chairwoman Karen Crane, one of three members to answer questions about the measures at yesterday's chamber luncheon, says the public has had plenty of time to comment on the list, and she sees no need for delay.
This list was put together by 9 duly elected members. If we wait, we'll still be looking at a list put together by 9 duly elected members, 3 of whom won't know as much because some of us have spent just months and months looking at these projects.
Assembly members are likely to decide on Monday whether to send the measures to voters, though they could be held for an additional public hearing August 27th, and we'll have more on the issue coming up Monday during Morning Edition. The debate over ballot measure 2 on the state primary ballot on reestablishing a coastal management program has been in the headlines this summer. Meanwhile, ballot measure 1 has flown under the radar for many Alaskans, even though it could impact them where it matters the most, in their checkbook. The measure would give cities the option to increase residential property tax exemptions. Cities currently have the option to exempt up to $20,000 in property taxes for homeowners. This fall's measure would increase that exemption to $50,000. Alexis Kenyon has more on the story from Petersburg.
The average Petersburg homeowner pays in the range of $3,000 a year for property tax. property tax in Petersburg is 1.099% of the value of a home, or a 10.99 millage rate. That's a little below national average, which is 1.38%. It's also below Alaska's average property tax rate. Ballot Measure 1, if passed, would give Alaska voters the opportunity to pay less residential property tax. That means if you own your own home and it is your primary location of residence, you will get an exemption up to $50,000, depending on what your city decides. For Petersburg voters, that could mean about $550 back in their pockets. Nadine Winters out of Fairbanks, Alaska, proposed the recent measure. She says the extra cash can mean a lot to homeowners.
I think that it'll help. That's what I think. I think it'll help. I mean, you know, if you're talking about the electric bill, I think our electric bills here have at least doubled. And if that helps people pay their electric bill for 3 months out of the winter, I'm kind of okay with providing that help. You know, is it going to change the world? No, but I think it's going to help people out.
The idea of residential property tax exemptions is not a new one for Alaska. Measure 1 actually expands on a current law. That law allows up to $20,000 in tax exemptions for homeowners. Several boroughs, including Valdez, Anchorage, Bristol Bay, and Fairbanks, already use that tax exemption. But when you cut taxes, you either have to cut services or raise money somewhere else. Winters says cutting services is not the point of this measure. She says if the city wants to slash the budget, they don't need this measure to do it.
Because the thing of it is, if you were going to do that, why would you even offer the exemption? You just cut your budget. Because when you cut the budget and lower the mill rate, then everybody pays less taxes. This is just consciously about reducing it for people in their primary residence.
Winter says the idea is that you would cut residential property taxes and then cities could actually increase the millage rate. Depending on the city and tax structures it has in place, a residential property tax exemption plus an increase in millage rates could shift the property tax burden over to the commercial and industrial taxpayers. But with an increased millage rate, that $550 back in your pocket, the city would actually ask for some of that back. And also with the increased millage rate, if the homeowner's house is really low in value, the extra cash could actually disappear or even mean an increase in your tax bill. But none of this municipal budget balancing is in the ballot measure, and Winters says it's not up to her to protect the services.
Now, if this passes, that would be an assembly discussion first and then a voter discussion. But my intent would be do the math and do it. But my goal is that it provides some relief to residential taxpayers, and not to the extent that it's going to cause, you know, an untenable burden on the commercial sector. But that's what I mean by balancing it. But my hope is that we can provide relief to residential without making it too onerous for commercial.
The exemptions would mean making hard decisions. And Winter says the ballot hasn't gotten much support from cities outside of Fairbanks. The city of Anchorage has come out against the measure. The idea of cutting taxes on residential homeowners doesn't have the Alaska Municipal League excited either. This is the executive director, Kathy Wasserman.
Usually we have just stayed away from property tax exemptions altogether, saying also that there shouldn't be classes of taxpayers. I mean, everyone should pay the same tax. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is in a different position than a lot of communities. They have a lot of their property tax base with the pipeline, where a lot of our communities, especially the ones down south here, don't really have that option to give a break to residents at the expense of the businesses.
No cities in Southeast currently take advantage of the $20,000 residential property tax exemption, and Petersburg City Council member Sue Flint doesn't think the city would change that with an option for a bigger exemption.
I would hate to say, well, we're going to give all the homeowners in town this $50,000 break and make Icicle and Ocean Beauty and Trident pick up the tab. It may work if you have great big oil company sitting in your town, but we don't have that.
Measure 1 is on the August 28th primary ballot. If approved, each municipality would have to pass an ordinance for the exemption, and then voters would have to decide. In Petersburg, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
Precious metals are up this morning in New York spot market trading. Gold currently at $1,624.50 an ounce. Silver at $28.23 an ounce. But zinc is down currently at 82 cents a pound. Price of Brent crude oil currently at $111.67 a barrel. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is planning a three-day trip to Alaska. Salazar may decide whether to issue final drilling permits to Shell Oil, which hopes to drill exploratory wells this summer in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. Shell still needs the Coast Guard to complete a review of an oil spill containment vessel before it can drill. The company is also seeking a waiver of requirements in the air permit it received from the Environmental Protection Agency. The Interior Department says Salazar tomorrow and Sunday will tour the North Slope and National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. He'll meet with reporters Monday in Anchorage. A federal appeals court has ruled against the native village of Kivalino over a challenge of a wastewater discharge permit issued to the Red Dog mine owners. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals released the ruling yesterday, saying Kivalino and others that joined the lawsuit did not provide sufficient detail in its filing. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in 2008 issued the permit to the Red Dog's owner, Tech Alaska Incorporated. The village challenged the EPA Appeals Board denial of their petition to review. The board found that Kivalina did not demonstrate why the EPA's responses to comments were clearly erroneous or otherwise warranted review. The Ninth Circuit Court upheld the EPA Appeal Board's decision, saying many of the challenge points were covered in the EPA's responses to public comments. And Governor Sean Parnell has appointed an Anchorage lawyer to the state Supreme Court to replace a justice recently named to the Ninth Circuit. Parnell appointed Peter Masson, who came to Alaska in 1980 with his wife and has been in private practice most of his career. He replaces Justice Morgan Christian. Masson is a partner at the general civil law firm of Ingoldson, Masson, and Fitzgerald. The governor's announcement says Masson is also a member of the Anchorage Youth Court Board of Directors and the Alaska Bar Association Board of Governors. Parnell said yesterday that Masson has strong legal writing skills, intelligence, and a background that includes operating a small business.